I think that people pay too much attention to the production of content. That leads to or content is unused, or people are frustrated because their content is not used, or the people they have that have to use the content are overwhelmed by all the assets that come their way.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by Audience Plus. Our mission is to shake out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals and stir up fresh conversation, all to help you connect your brand with the right audience at the right time. Let's raise a glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. This is Jonathan Gandolf here, your host, co-founder, and CEO of Audience Plus. I'm thrilled to be joined today by a CRO who's come up through the marketing space, which in and of itself is a topic for discussion that we will get to today. But this is Selma Chavon, CRO of AgoraPulse. I'm thrilled to be joined by her today. We're going to learn a lot about how they're thinking about content at AgoraPulse. We've got some lessons to learn here, and I think for our watchers and listeners of this episode, probably some really tactical advice to think about how you're applying content into the funnel. So Selma, why don't I stop there, and in your own words, tell us a little bit about your background and your role at AgoraPulse.
So that's my first time CRO role. I used to do marketing, so for 20 years, always in the tech area, always in the B2B tech area, and I've been through a lot. I think it's 6 acquisitions, 1 IPO, really scaling a company and going down and scaling again is basically what I'm kind of good at. And I think that's what prepared me to be a CRO today.
That's awesome. I cannot wait to jump into that. Lots of debate in that space, and maybe we'll even debate it a little bit today. But before we do that, and before we jump into today's conversation, so we always ask all of our guests, this is the Content Cocktail Hour. What are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
I'm such a boring person. So my thing is always iced water because I do a lot of sport, especially strength training. And so I need to be super cautious of what I eat and what I drink. So sorry, guys. And there are the national tournament that is coming next week. So I'm over boring.
I like that. All of our watchers and listeners of this episode, take a moment. Let's all drink some water. I know I could certainly use some encouragement to break from the coffee and caffeine that I drink and drink more water. So let this be a reminder. I think that's a healthy reminder for us all. Let's drink more water.
2 liters a day. Go.
That's impressive. That's very impressive. Yes, I love that. Well, cool. Speaking of things we could all do more of, how about using content and the sales process? You and I were talking a little bit before the recording here. I think, you know, content for so many brands, sometimes it's a brand exercise, sometimes it's a demand exercise. Everybody tries to make it a little bit of both. How you measure success with content, I think, is always up for debate and often changing at businesses. From the CRO seat, though, I'm interested in kind of your perspective on what content means to the AgoraPulse team and the kind of combined marketing and sales function.
So I think I would start with the fact that there are two aspects of content. The first one is the production of content, and the other one is the promotion of content. People pay too much attention to the production of content. That leads to or content is unused, or people are frustrated because their content is not used, or the people they have that have to use the content are overwhelmed by all the assets that come their way. And I talk especially about sales guys. Do you know that sales guys don't pay attention? When you tell them, oh, there is a new customer story here, or oh, we have done an amazing white paper there, they will never pay attention.
And then they'll ask you for, hey, do we have any customer stories that we can use? Yeah. Or can we get a new customer story? Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's the most dangerous for me as a CRO is to ensure that, again, we're not wasting efforts, but in the same time that we just don't do content for the sake of doing content and that we produce the exact pieces of content that the sales team is needing, whether it's to initiate a deal or to make a deal become like a real plan and a deal sign.
That kind of production versus promotion is the exact pain point that actually led me to starting The Juice, which is now Audience Plus. I was leading a marketing and sales dev reported into marketing. And I just felt like we were creating really great content. The production of the content was really high quality. It was data driven. It was proprietary data from our own software. This was in a healthcare analytics space. So we had really fascinating data. And we were creating really great content. And then, you know, we would promote it for a day or two. And then we were on to creating the next piece of content. I always called it creation versus distribution, which you just called production versus promotion. Probably a better alliteration there than what I was using. But I just felt like we were dedicating so much time, energy, effort, resources, both human and capital resourcing to creating great content. And then we weren't doing a good job of distributing that content or promoting that content. And I was looking for solutions. There's some like content syndication providers out there, but that felt really low quality. We'd pass it to our sales team. They'd get these leads and they'd be like, oh, this is not quality. And you were actually like hurting the trust between the sales and marketing team. So absolutely love that production versus promotion delineation you've made. And then not just creating content for the sake of creating content. I've heard others talk about random acts of content. And I see that a lot as well. A lot of people just say like, oh, we should be producing white papers. So we're going to produce a white paper and we're going to put it behind a form. It's like, that's not actually what your audience wants or is engaging with, but it's the way maybe your brand has always done it. And I think like breaking out of that random acts of content is really important as
well. And I think that's the thing. Like producing content is not a marketing thing. That's a revenue thing. And as long as you think that your marketing team is in charge of creating the content, then you create the disconnect. Because the way you create content should come from the sentences that prospects say during their calls. So let's take that as a basis. I often see like content people just doing a campaign saying, we want to talk about that new product launch today. So let's create a bunch of content about it that no one cares about. Whether the right approach is to go back to what do prospects tell you during a meeting? Because we know that if they mention that, that's exactly their pain point. And so we should build pieces of content that are talking about these pain points. Because first, we know that that will resonate for other people. And second, I know that you will use that because you're in front of someone who expresses the exact need that we'll be covering in our content piece. So yeah, it's a revenue thing again, not a marketing thing.
I always say we can either sell to the prospect or you can let them sell to themselves, right? Like, and I think you'll be far more effective if they're selling to themselves. And I think that's listening is like the first step of content. I think so many marketing teams live in that silo of production or maybe not working with the sales team as close as they should, that they're creating from what they know, from what they think, and they're not getting that input from the sales team or even more importantly, the customers, the prospects. And again, using their words, I think it's a classic like marketing trap of brand is what you say about yourself or it's what others say about you, right? And I think sometimes we get that flipped.
But I also understand that because when you're marketing people, what you're taught at school is to go, you know, from the beginning of the funnel, then to the back of the funnel. You know, it's like no one in the market knows what you're doing. So first tell them that you exist, then educate them on a topic and then sell them something. But the reality is that no one is waiting for you to tell them what problem they have and how to solve that. And so you put words in their mouth. That is, you think they have this issue because that goes well in your funnel and that's nice to put on a slide deck. That's the opposite of reality. The reality is with prospects during like sales calls, again, that's where you know exactly what their problems are and so what they expect to solve that. And because again, they speak to sales in kind of a defensive way, that is, you're not using what I produce. They're not asking, what do I need to produce so you can use that? And if they do so, the sales reps are not trained to answer properly to that question. So they will be super generic, as you mentioned. We need white paper. I need use cases. I know I need customer stories. I need a quote. But that's not the right answer as well. The only answer that is receivable there is what are the pains that were expressed by prospects in the call? And how do we as a revenue team work together at solving these pains and explaining that through content?
So let's talk about how you do it at AgoraPulse. I know you shared a little bit of a preview with me, but you've maybe kind of flipped the funnel and how you are applying content to that. I'd love for you to maybe just explain to our audience what you are doing at AgoraPulse, again, with that marketing lens, but now in the CRO seat and how you're applying content to the funnel.
So the basics is that. So as you know, any pain for anyone always falls into one of these three categories that will be productivity or relationship, or I want to be ready for the future. If you want to buy a pair of sneakers, is or you think that you're not running fast enough. Pro tip, that's not your shoes, that's often you. But anyway, that's a productivity thing. You want to run faster. Or it's a community thing, like I want to have the same sneakers than my friends. Or it's, okay, they're getting really old, it's raining tomorrow, and I want to ensure that, you know, rain doesn't go into my shoes. Ready for the future. No matter what, a problem always is in one of these three categories. And so the thing is, you have to listen to your sales calls. And what we've done is that we basically ranked all the things we've heard, all the pains that were expressed, and put them in one of these three categories. So we knew what was the mostly expressed pain by our people in all of these three, again, big pillars of pains. And then we started to develop on each of these pillars and again, build, we flip-flop. So we basically build from bottom of a funnel to top of a funnel things on these specific pains. Why? Because it's easier to test if it's on bottom of a funnel, and it's even easier if you test that on high velocity channels like social again, because you can be like, okay, I've heard this pain 3 times in a week. Let's create a snippet, a customer quote, whatever, that really answers this exact pain that is said by the prospect. If we go back to our sneakers, it can be, for example, productivity. Okay, the customer could say, I got like 10 seconds more per kilometer than what I used to do because of these new sneakers. And with this ad, you can see if it's clicked or not. If people click on it, if people read your post on organic, for example, LinkedIn, saying that you ran your first marathon with these shoes and that was the best run of your life, then you know that this pain was real. And so you can build an entire story and ask that guy again, like, to do a use case of that. And maybe take some pictures of him wearing the shoes and whatever you want to educate the market. If no one reacts to that, you know that that's, okay, if that was 3 times in a row, but that's not a real pain. And then maybe you want to try something else. Maybe you want to talk about the carbon sole of your shoes because that's super like fancy and so on. And you will try another one explaining, this is because of this carbon sole that I'm running faster. If you would have done that the reverse way, people would have reacted because people always react to anything. But then these people might not be the ones that would convert into a real discussion with you. But time for you to realize that, 3 months have passed.
I love that you're not saying we shouldn't be attaching content to the funnel. You're just saying, like, let's start at the bottom of the funnel and then actually go up from there. Like, you've reverse engineered it, which I think is so smart. I think a lot of times at the top of the funnel, we're guessing and we're like seeing what's working. I've said before on this, like, I think sometimes marketers, we use experimentation as a crutch for like throwing crap at a wall and seeing what's sticking, right? Versus like what you're saying is like we're running the experiments, like maybe not when they're not called experiments, but at the bottom of the funnel, you're getting that real, like kind of final and finite feedback from prospects. And it's like, okay, well, let's start there where we know we're getting things that matter and then work all the way up the funnel from there. I think that's, it sounds so simple, but I think that's so smart and just a change in perspective and a change in lens of how marketers can look at the content they're creating.
And think also about workload and pressure. You've spent 3 months building that campaign. If you don't get leads to send to sales at the end, like you're really, I don't want to be you. But if you do that the reverse way, first, you know where to stop. For example, maybe everyone knows what a sneaker is. You don't need to educate people about why you should wear a sneaker. No, but really, like some educational content may sound like that. So you know that, okay, you have enough traction from here. So you don't need to progress in the education. And the second one is you might have the volume already. For example, if you have like 10 sales reps, you know they can make 10 calls a day. Why providing them 200 leads each a day? What's the point? They won't be able to call them. So you're basically overwhelming everyone in the chain and overwhelming yourself. And that prevents you from thinking about other stuff that could be called for the future. And you just continue on your campaign.
Yeah, a good example I always think about that I think is a bit maybe ironic. People always talk about case studies as like the classic bottom of funnel content. And I just think there's like, I think it's actually a huge missed opportunity to think of those as top of funnel content, because what happens in a case study is somebody will see it in their feed or in their email or whatever. And if you're highlighting the right brands, somebody's going to say, oh, that brand is just like mine. I know, right? And like all of a sudden, like you're creating this kind of parallel with a prospect at the top of the funnel that says, oh, somebody just like me is benefiting from this, where it's like, maybe how they're using the tool is later in the conversation or later in the funnel or bottom of funnel. But it's like seeing that, raising that awareness that people like you can benefit from this tool, I think it's this extreme like education top of funnel example, right? And I think like that's where marketers, we sometimes, myself included as a marketer, you know, I think we sometimes get too like wrapped around the axle of this like, oh, well, case studies are only bottom of funnel, thought leadership and social is only top of funnel, whatever it may be. And I think like we're too strict in how we're defining and using content in the funnel.
And again, bottom of funnel is what makes you answer on the phone or what makes you send us a demo request, no matter what. And that could be super different from a person to another. And to go back to your case study example, and to go back to my super stupid sneaker example, you can split that. Like, is the sole important to you? Are the colors important to you? What does really matter? And you use the same case study thing, but you just, for example, you just create an account on Instagram and you just post organically like 3 different images of the 3 different aspects. And you see which one makes people react the most. And so you know how to write your case study again. Because that is the same elements in it, that the same data, but the story will be super different. And you don't know how to build the story before you have done these 3 small pieces of content, like Instagram posts. And that's why it matters, because again, creating content, I know we are in an LLM world, but no matter what, creating content remains a thing. And that requires a lot of time and energy to produce a good piece of content. And I strongly believe in producing great pieces of content instead of producing a ton of pieces of content. But you can hit the wrong target if you just forget that is the goal, is to have a meeting. It's not to sell the product yet. We're not there. We want you to interact with us. That's what means bottom of funnel. You don't have to tell me all the different components of your sneaker. I don't care. I just want pink sneaker today. Yep. So I will only click if it's pink.
Yep. And even if you are using an LLM, that's a whole separate episode of using those to create content. But if you are, it's garbage in, garbage out. The better information you have to prompt the LLM or the generative tool or solution, like, you still need better inputs to create better outputs. And the only way to get that, again, is from your customers, from your sales team, et cetera, et cetera. So I absolutely love this conversation, and I can see why you as a marketer have transitioned flawlessly into the CRO role. So I want to shift gears and kind of shift the conversation that way. There's a lot of debate in the B2B space. The CRO role, calling it emerging or new, I feel like it's probably past that point. It's a pretty well-established role at this point. But I do feel like there's a lot of conversation in the space right now about the path to CRO. Should it be a sales? Should it be your VP of sales becomes your SVP of sales becomes the CRO? Is it a marketer? I feel like that maybe the trend or the more common perspective is that the CRO role is a sales role. Feel free to disagree with me on that if you'd like, but that's maybe what I see more of in the space. But there is this debate between, is it sales, is it marketing, does marketing report into it? So I'd love to hear a little bit about your path to CRO. Was that something that you had always kind of thought you wanted to lead sales and marketing? Or as we saw these new definitions of what the CRO role was, you kind of set your sights on it. Kind of how did you end up in the seat, and maybe what advice do you have for marketers who are thinking about the CRO role?
Maybe I can start with something I strongly believe in, that is, there are three ways to fail as a CRO. The first one is that you join a company and they don't really know what a CRO is. The target's super vague. They don't really get it, and they don't really see the value of that. You have a CMO in place, VP sales in place. They don't like you, but in advance, whatever. The other way to fail is that when people think you will be the savior, the company is not doing great, and they think hiring a CRO will solve everything. Yeah. And the third way of failing is coming from sales. Sorry to say that. Wow. And why? Yeah, sorry, everyone will hate me.
No, I like it. I like it.
But the reason is, again, when you're a VP sales, you're used to think short term because your goal is to achieve the target of the next quarter and to put pressure on everyone else to make it happen. Whether when you're a marketing person, your goal, again, is to serve the business. You often see as sales is my customer and so on, to serve the business and to prepare the growth for this year, but also for next year, because you know your budget will be cut. So, right. Now think about the role of the CRO. The CRO has to align every actor of that whole process to ensure that that goes smoothly from one guy to another one, to ensure that we have growth tomorrow, but also in the long run. When I say that, it's obvious that one of these two characters is shaped better to feel that. The only thing that prevents people from naming CMO is that they think CMOs are brand or communication, and they're not connected to business. Once they hire, once they trust enough their CMO to make them really an actor of business generation, then there will be a natural path to make them become CRO. Main problem to solve is not to have a CMO becoming CRO, is how to ensure that a CMO matters for business. I often see like sales guys are the king of the world and marketing just have to serve their needs. I see you smiling because I think that's pretty obvious.
Order takers. I've been in that role. I've heard it talked about, like, where marketing is just your order taker.
And I think that's why I'm a CRO today, is because I was so frustrated about it that I was like, no, I think sales are a way to do business. So basically sales are a branch of marketing because we have self-service, we have partner, and then we have sales. So you should belong to our department and not the other way around. And that's basically the way I approach this role. That is, I don't see that as a sales plus. I see that, again, as a whole funnel that have to work together. And the only difference with the marketing funnel is that that funnel goes deeper.
I like it. So my background in marketing, I started as a data analyst in a marketing department. And I always think that's like served me really well. Because it's like you mentioned, like the CMO kind of typically comes from brand or comms or like marketer. A lot of people get into marketing from the creative side. I've always been unapologetic about, like, I'm not your creative. Like, I'm not the brand and creative guy, but I can be paired with a really good brand or creative person and do really cool stuff because I have the other side of that same marketing coin, right? That is the data analysis that can understand what's working, why it's working. Demand gen, that playbook a little bit stronger when I'm paired with a really good brand and creative person or team. I think it's really interesting how then you kind of talk about this CMO or the marketing team being positioned as, like I said, kind of order takers or even like sometimes internal agencies where they're just responding. they're not empowered to be driving or helping strategically like guide the sales team, and they're just responding to the sales team. So I think all of that's so good. I'm curious, at AgoraPulse, does marketing and sales report into you?
Yes, both of them. So that's, I think that's where we have the most impact. Actually, the thing is that what I always hear is that marketing, please produce leads, and then sales rep, please produce revenue. And then if you're not producing enough revenue, then you go back to marketing and you ask for more leads. That's the usual thing, right? But being a CRO, coming from marketing, helps to just kill that barrier and just say, okay, we need to achieve this amount of business. Who can take what? And I don't care. And I don't care about attribution that much. I don't care about anything that much. It's more like, who has room to improve a process, to improve something? And I don't care. You know, what's important is that, so the targets of the sales team are based in that way. That is, from inbound and BDRs, they receive 80% of their quota. But we as a company do commit on this 80% of the quota. So basically, if they don't want to do outbound, any kind of sales prospection or whatever, I don't care, the company is making it. But if they want to achieve their bonus, they have to do outbound. And because they have to do outbound, they're super different from the usual cliche of the sales rep that just waits for it to happen, because he has to self-generate a portion of his pipeline. And that behavior brings him in a, I'm owning my shit mode. That is, I want everyone's help to help me build, but I'm not the customer waiting for it to happen.
That is so, so good. I love it so much. I mentioned in a previous role, I was lead marketing, but sales dev reported in, and it was a lot of the same. It's like, we don't care exactly how attribution. I think sometimes, again, marketers kind of make a bigger deal of it than they need to. It's about, is the business hitting its goals at the end of the day? And then what can we iterate on to improve how we hit those goals or how we exceed those goals? I think all of that is so strong. I really appreciate your perspective on all of it. Selma, we always wrap these conversations. Maybe you've shared or previewed this a little bit already, but what's an unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to B2B sales or marketing?
Unpopular, you mean? Yeah, I only have popular behavior. No, I would say it's not a rocket science. And I think that's the thing. Everyone, well, I always speak with like marketing people that are tempting to just reinvent trends. You know, that was outbound, then inbound, then outbound, then whatever you want on the top. And I just like, can we just stop marketing ourselves and just do business? Honestly, people will take us more seriously if we just stick with that. That is, we are here to make money, and everything else, brand awareness, communication, whatever, serves a purpose of making money. That's all. If you start to think about something else, start to see yourself as a big strategist of doing things amazing and super popular, I don't care. I just want money at the end. Sorry.
I've shared this example before, but a classic example of this. The last company I was at, I started my career in B2B. I went B2C for a little bit and then ended up back in B2B. And in that time I was in B2C is when account-based marketing became like the trend that everybody was doing. And so I got back into B2B and I ended up leading this marketing team. And they were talking about ABM. I was afraid to say in the meeting, like, what does that stand for, right? So finally I had a colleague, sat down with them, and I was like, this ABM stuff, people keep talking, like, what is that? And they're like, oh, well, it's just a list of accounts that we're targeting with advertising and some gifting. And we're working with the sales team on the named accounts. And I remember looking at her and just being like, so we're just talking about marketing. Like, that is just, that is what we are talking about. And, you know, at that business, the gifting layer was what really made it different from some of the other activities. But I was like, that's just good marketing. I'm a huge fan of ABM. And if you need to name it to get it prioritized within the business, that's fine. But really, I just think ABM is good marketing. That's neither here nor there. And like you said, like marketers, we sometimes get so focused on marketing ourselves or our own initiatives that we forget about the ultimate service for the business and driving results. So I really appreciate that opinion.
Thank you for sharing it.
Well, Selma, if people want to learn more from you or learn more about AgoraPulse, what's the best way to do that?
Please just ping me on LinkedIn. I always answer and I'm always happy to discuss. So
awesome. Well, Selma, thank you so much for spending the time today. Really appreciate your perspective on all things content, the funnel, and the CRO role. To all of our watchers, all of our listeners, thanks for joining another episode of the Content Cocktail Hour. Until next time, same place. Cheers. Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by Audience Plus. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us at audienceplus.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.